Let me lead us in our Bible reading for this morning. So it's Matthew 23, verses 37 to 39. And the context is Jesus is coming into Jerusalem just days really before he's going to be executed on the cross. And he's given his life for everyone. What's he done? He's healed the sick. He's fed the hungry. He's lifted up the poor. And what's he got in response? A pile of aggro from the leading figures of the day, constantly being heckled and abused. And you know, at the moment, if you say something wrong, how people call you out on Twitter. I think that's probably what it would have been like for Jesus, constantly called out on Twitter or social media. And here he says these impassioned words. He is at the edge of Jerusalem. He knows he's going to die. He knows he will rise again. But I think his heart is full of sorrow. And he cries out, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you are not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" So Jesus is saying, "I love you, but you've turned away from me." Have you ever had a child say to you, "I can do it"? "No, no, I don't want your help. Mum, dad, uncle, auntie, godparent, brother, sister. No, I'm going to do it." And they want to do it. Turns that illustration in a moment. But on my cycle to church, I go past Early Lake. And in Early Lake, you've got all the geese. And on the one side, on my left, I've got the lake. On the right, I've got the houses and the lawn sort of sweep down to the road that separates the lake and the homes. And those lawns are fought over by the geese, because geese, as you know, may eat grass. And they raise their chicks. They nest, I think, in the woods. But in the mornings, early in the mornings, as you're cycling, they take the chicks to the lawns to feed. And I love watching them, goslings, aren't they? That's what they're called. And the first, the Egyptian geese, if you know what Egyptian geese are, they always have their chicks first, very early, February, and then they're followed by the Canada geese. Canada geese haven't had their chicks actually yet, so we look forward to seeing them. And I love watching the chicks, the goslings, because they're so funny. They just carry on, they're bumbling around, they've got absolutely no sense of any danger, of any threat, of anything, and they're just bumbling around, eating, knocking over into each other. And there's a dad. Dad is on patrol, and he honks if you get anywhere near the geese. This is serious business. And there's a mother goose there leading them. And they're watching over them. They're keeping the goslings safe. And at night, they gather them all under their wings. I have actually seen a goose with all the goslings under the wings. It's very, very sweet, actually, early in the morning. And imagine if those goslings said, "No, I'm fine. I can do it myself." They wouldn't last very long. There are foxes around the lake. If you cycle back late in the evening, you'll often see foxes. And those little goslings would not last 5 minutes. They make a very tasty snack. In fact, the numbers do go down a little as the days go on. You can watch the same pair of geese rearing the chicks. And if you count each morning, there aren't always the same number one day as there are the next. I'm sad to say, but by and large, they do pretty well. You know. And Jesus is saying, "Look, I came to you. I came to love you, to care for you, to look after you. And you weren't willing. You abused me, you ran away, you hated me." And he's really sad. I don't think there he's telling them off, he's just pouring out his heart. And he's saying, the bit where he says, "Your house is left desolate," He knows that not long after this, the Romans will come and lay siege to Jerusalem, because the Jews, many of the Jews, not all of them, of course, didn't recognize Jesus as a Messiah. And after Jesus died and rose again, they rebel against the Romans because they want a proper kingdom. They don't want Jesus. And of course, it's a stupid thing to do because the Romans are a very powerful, huge army. And the Romans lay siege to Jerusalem. It's a very, even as siege warfare goes, it's a very, very bitter siege. In fact, the Israelites start fighting amongst themselves and even burn their own grain store. One group burns a grain store to spite the other group. But there you go. And it's a terrible siege. And this time, Jerusalem's just really, they knock the temple down. They take all the people off to be slaves. And Jesus is wanting to spare them from that. And what about us? Are we like the child that says, no, I can do it on my own? Of course, we've got to let our children do stuff on their own, haven't we, sometimes? Okay, you want to go out in the rain without your coat on because you think you're fine? You learn the hard way. And we do have to give our children, don't we, more and more freedom and independence. We still got our children at 18 saying, Dad, I think I can work this out myself, thanks very much. So, but of course, there's some things where you're not going to let your child just do it. Dad, I can do the gas ring and cook the tea all on my own at 4 years old. No, actually, you can't. You're going to burn and the house is going to burn down. And what about you? Do you gather under God's wings, male or female? Do you say, no, I can do it? You're too proud. Sometimes people say to me, actually quite often, people say to me, I can pray for other people, I can't pray for myself. Why is that? Can't be bothered. Don't think you're worthy. Or do you think you're okay? Other people need the prayers, but I'll be okay. And Jesus is saying, no, come under the wings. I think sometimes we say that, ask Jesus into your life and he'll take over the controls. Actually, I used to think that. I'm not sure that's true anymore. I think when you give Jesus space to your room, actually, he gives you the controls. You've never been in control of your life. You think you are, I think I am, but actually, what can I make happen and what can't I make happen? I'm very limited. Jesus actually gives you the ability to control your life, to control your emotions, to manage yourself, improve your relationships, improve the way you work, improve the quality of your work, improve your family relationships. He gives you the controls, actually. And he sits there as the co-pilot, but you partner with him, the Holy Spirit there. And when he gathers you under the wings, it's not a controlling thing, it's a security thing, and he's there nurturing you, helping you to become the person that he made you to be. He wants you to flourish, to thrive. So the question this morning is, are you willing? I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. But I hope you are willing. And maybe you give more and more room for Jesus. He wants to care for you. He wants to protect you. You might think, well, I can do it on my own. Even Bear Grylls, Action Man, says he needs God. He says, sometimes people say to me, your faith's a crutch. He says, well, I'm quite happy with that. I need a crutch. I can't do life on my own. And he is Mr. sort of jump out the plane and without a parachute and hope the tree breaks your fall type of thing. And then how much more? And of course, every parent here, every godparent, every uncle, every auntie, you're gonna, if there's a little child and they're in danger, you protect them, wouldn't you? Probably with your life. And God, of course, does protect you with his life. Now, the advantage is God can protect you from everything and come out the other side. He's the only one. So you might be able to protect that little child, give your life for them, but you can't protect them from everything. God can. He's the only one. He's the only one who came back to life. He's the only one who faced hatred, pain, difficulty, and fear, and came back. And he offers you that level of protection. That's who he wants to be in your life. So that's wonderful. That's your God, caring for you, nurturing you. So he says, come on, be willing. And then that really encouraging thing, for I say you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's talking about his resurrection and his second coming. He's saying, look, I'm going to die, but I'm going to live again. Come and enjoy life in all its fullness with me. And then one day Jesus will come again. That's when everything is sorted out. We hope the situation in Ukraine gets better, but one day Jesus is going to come and sort everything out. And there'll be peace, a new heaven, and a new earth. And we look forward to that. And that gives us actually more durability now. We say, well, it's just pie in the sky. We look forward to our holidays, don't we? We look forward to meeting people. We're always looking forward to things. Actually, that hope of something enables you to be more engaged, more durable, more certain now. We look forward to Jesus' coming, so we're confident. We can give ourselves now. We can be generous now. We can care for others now. We can pray for Ukraine in confidence now. We can get involved in shelter box. We can run marathons. We can care for our colleagues at work. We can do the best job we can when we've got a difficult boss or a difficult team. You can have a hard team as well as a difficult boss. Why? Because we're looking ahead to the day when God makes all things perfect. And in a way, that what's ahead comes back into now. So Jesus says, come under my wings. Let me care for you. Let me look after you. I'm not going to crush you. I'm going to nurture you. I'm going to let you get the controls back on your life. Just like as we have children, we let them grow up. We give them more and more responsibility. I think that's how God works with us.